What is going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
Come out to the coast. We'll have a few laughs.
What's that from?
Die Hard.
Oh.
The greatest Christmas movie ever. Bad. I know we're a little late,
I've only seen that like a handful of times, full
watch
disclosure.
Watch it every year.
I feel a little less manly now. Anyway, okay, we'll move on from that. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We are here with the first episode of 2018 for Bright Side of the Suns, for the fans, by the fans podcast.
Yes, sir.
Now that the holidays are behind us, I think we'll probably be a little more regular.
I hope so.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, my travel's behind me. That helps, too.
Yeah, hopefully your shoulder surgery goes okay.
Yeah, hey, that means I should be laid up watching Suns
games.
That's
perfect, yeah. Paul's going to be a lot more insightful because he's going to have nothing better to do because he's going to be like on painkillers laying on the couch for a few weeks.
Maybe we should record this.
I believe we will. And even if I'm not here, I might just have your wife secretly record you anyway to see what happens. Can't be bad. So at any rate, I said this last time, it's been a while, but like I said, we'll be more regular moving forward here. But since we were gone, we've had, you know, Devin Booker go out, Devin Booker return. We've had some word come down about Devin Booker's involvement with the future of the franchise moving forward. Mike James is no longer here.
And now we have the Cannon.
And now we have Isaiah Cannon, who, I'm sorry, but I still do double takes because he's built exactly like Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah,
and he wears number two. And the first game he played, I three times was like, why is this a replay? Oh, yeah, okay, Isaiah Cannon, got it. But at any rate, first things first, really quickly, Brightside Night, thank you everybody out there.
Woo-hoo!
Killed it. We met the mark, flew past the mark.
Met the next mark.
Met the next mark. It's like marks are being presented and they
just
keep getting
in the
blown
mirror.
Up. So it seems like the holiday
Dave
season
is very
really
happy.
Kicked in for everybody. So that is outstanding. Thank you so much.
Paul, and thanks to the Pacers fans too, because they I know they chipped in a bunch too.
There you go. Thank you, Pacer fans that chipped in as well.
I know none of them listen to this.
That'd be weird if they did. Like maybe they just listen to random podcasts about every NBA team. Probably not. So Paul and I will be there if you get a chance to say hello. Say hello.
Yeah, I'll be the guy in the sling.
That's right, because you're going to have your surgery. Back to that whole thing. So, I want to give you, Paul, special kudos. Yeah, I didn't tell you about this before. I want to get your genuine reaction. Because I sure saw you like shaking people down on Twitter, man. Being like, hey, this means you at so-and-so when Dave was posting, like, don't be that guy. So good job. I mean, it elicited a response. Maybe some of those people that ended up donating out, they were just like, I don't want to get shaken down by Paul on social media. So
I was in a mood one day.
Good for you, man. Congrats. And ironically, delving into one other little thing about Paul having a little bit of a forceful tendencies. I'd like to point out that today is the 1 year anniversary of us recording a podcast where I actually thought you were going to punch me in the face. You remember that?
I do remember.
I was
that.
Sitting right here, you were sitting right there, and the fire in your eyes was something I have never seen before and I hope to never see again.
Well, there's a reason we don't drink anymore while we do these.
Apparently Paul's an angry two beer drinker. I don't know. Okay. So, okay, that's enough of that. That's 3 minutes and 20 seconds of us just yapping back and forth about Paul's violent tendencies. And that was more like 30 seconds of Paul's violent tendencies. But at any rate, so Booker.
Yeah.
Devin Booker. I think the first thing, at least that I kind of want to hop on, is Ryan McDonough's interview from, I guess it was last week now, where he was talking about how Devin Booker is indeed going to have say with this franchise moving forward, whether it be players, although he said except for like trading players, because then you're moving players out, and with the personnel decisions in terms of coaching and whatnot. I'll say briefly, I have absolutely no problem with it. I think that's actually a good move because I want to keep Devin Booker as happy as I can possibly keep him, because at this point, his happiness and his participation, his engagement in where this franchise is going is really the thing that's going to kind of keep him around, because, you know, until they start winning games on a regular basis, it's not going to be a winning tradition.
Hopefully he's a better GM than LeBron.
Are you saying that Iman Shumpert's not worth all that money he got?
Or Tristan Thompson?
Tristan Thompson was who I was actually thinking of. But yeah, exactly. So, but Paul, thoughts?
I mean, I think it's a good move to at least consult with him, just from the standpoint of, as Justin said, to keep him happy, because, you know, with the way contracts are going now, particularly with that that new quirk that they have, that you get that supermax extension, that Cousins got screwed out of because he got traded, because you have to be able to get that with the team that you were either drafted by or you had to have been traded before you take that first extension. If he's gonna, if he's thinking he doesn't want to be at the Suns long term, he's gonna want to make that move soon, because that affects his ability to get that Supermax extension. So keeping him happy is priority one. Priority two is building a team around him to win, which will keep him happy,
right?
Hopefully. And obviously there are moves to be made related to that. Clearly a coaching decision is probably the first one on the docket.
What's up, Fizz?
Hopefully.
I feel like Book and Fizz would get along great.
I think they would. I think
they probably already do.
Yeah. You know, Fizz is out there. Everybody knows Fizz. But, I mean, Triano's shown some signs that, you know, he's gotten a lot more out of this team than Earl Watson did. I mean, they're playing better now than they were last year when they had a borderline all-star in Eric Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. So, clearly, he's getting something out of the team. They're on pace, I think, for, like low 30s wins this year with the rate they're going right now. So, I mean, you can't hate on that kind of improvement, and you're starting to see improvement in a bunch of different players. Like, you know, Chris has started to come on a little bit recently.
Yeah, he's had a few games here the past like 3 or 4 games.
Yeah,
finally he's starting to
be consistent.
Obviously a small sample size there, but
yeah,
you know, just show us glimpses, at least give us a little hope.
I mean, just look at, I mean, I kind of want Alex Len back now.
You're right.
I want him to stick around, and I mean, that's a lot of that's, I think, Triano and putting him in a position to succeed and getting him to, you know, simplify his game and just be what the team needs him, and, you know, focus on the things we know he's good at.
17-foot spot up shots are not necessary for him to be taking, is what you're saying?
Not trying to be Kevin Garnett.
Unnecessary. Absolutely.
But yeah, so definitely want Booker in on that conversation. I mean, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully he has a high basketball IQ. I don't know how that translates into personnel decisions, but
I can't imagine it's a bad thing. And, you know, I think you brought up a good point, albeit perhaps, you know, half jokingly saying hopefully he's better than LeBron. I think that's one thing that the Suns need to do is give him that insight, allow him to, provide input, but make sure it's, you know, rationally based and he's not just trying to bring in his buddies to play. Now, granted, if his buddies are, you know, not somebody that's Tristan Thompson, instead it's like DeMarcus Cousins, then okay.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Or Cat, yeah, exactly. I mean, shoot, he was wearing a Suns jersey last week. Just saying, he looked pretty good in purple and orange. So,
no.
Yeah, then you know what, pay them up the nose. That's totally fine.
And I mean,
but
Carl Anthony Towns might be getting sick of that Tibbs situation there, and if he wants to move and get that Supermax extension, he's going to want to make that move sooner than later.
Yeah, exactly. I like this. You know, players can't tamper with other players, right?
So nope.
It's the beauty of it.
Especially when they went to college together.
Exactly. They're just homies. So, yeah, no, I think it's a good move. And again, if you're setting this kid up and you're saying he's going to be the face of the franchise, which they've been saying, which he's expressed interest in being, which I think is great, then give him that opportunity to be involved in the decisions and see where things go. And if, you know, again, things start to get a little awry, well, you know, then we could always tail it back a little bit. But at the same time, if it's going to help ensure that we're keeping Devin Booker around for an extended period of time, then I'm all for it. And again, as long as it's within reason and he's providing input but not absolutely making the end of the day decisions like I think LeBron makes up there,
right?
Then it's totally fine. And it certainly seems to me like Devin Booker doesn't come across as, how do I say this about LeBron, an egomaniac that needs to have all sorts of control over things. He doesn't come across as that kind of guy, and he seems generally interested in making this team a winner. And if, again, we keep him around to do so, then fantastic.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if over the course of the offseason and whatnot, we see, you know, Booker making his voice known in a situation, and that's the situation the Suns go in. And then in a later situation, Booker making his voice known, and the Suns going in a different direction to kind of just show that there are boundaries there.
Sure. You know, I don't think we're going to hear about any of it either.
No. But I don't know. Gambo might say something.
I think to the okay. Well, I don't think the Suns are going to come out and directly say Devin Booker wanted this person or wanted this person.
Right.
I think it's going to be, you know, at most McDonough saying we're consulting with him. His input is valuable to us,
right.
Which is fine because I think that's all that should be said by the team. Now perhaps team sources, quote unquote,
right.
Will give Gambo or whomever a little bit more insight. And if so, fantastic. But whether it is leaked out through a source or whether it's more neutrally put by the franchise and talking about Booker's involvement, I think the scenario you laid out is certainly going to happen at some point along the line,
right.
Where Booker is going to give his input and they'll go that way. And other times Booker will give his input and they'll go a different way. Whatever. As long as he's giving his input and the Suns are making decisions that are ostensibly, presumably best for the franchise right. moving forward, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he has that quality that every team wants in their star player. Like, he just gets it. He
right.
knows exactly what to say, what to do, when to do it. And, like, he just is born to be a face of a franchise. And I know we don't want him to go anywhere.
Absolutely. And he also, I feel like, and I'm saying this, obviously not having to go through the situation, I feel like I would have a difficult time not liking him.
Yeah.
Like, if he left, I don't see there being, like, a big Devin Booker jersey burning party like, you know, many other cities have done in the past with some of their star players. I just find him that likable. But maybe I would have said the same thing about Goran Dragic back in the day. I'm not sure.
I don't know, dude. I mean, there are guys in Boston who burned Isaiah Thomas jerseys. And, like, he didn't want to leave.
He got traded. It's like, pump the brakes, folks. Pump the brakes. So you're saying people are a little too quick on the trigger to burn jerseys?
Yeah, okay. A little bit. Those $100-something jerseys just throwing it
maybe,
up in the air.
Maybe the rational Justin over here is like, I'm not going to burn a jersey that quickly. I don't think I'd ever burn a jersey.
It
just seems really, really useless.
Yeah.
Wasteful. Donate it somewhere,
yeah.
Right?
Pollutish.
Right, yes. Pollutish. Okay, so what else should we talk about? We talk about more about Devin Booker. He's back.
He's back?
He's back. He's three games back.
Out the gates, guns a-blazing.
Yeah, he certainly hasn't forgotten how to take his shot.
No.
Which I wouldn't expect him to. He's gone, three games he's been back? He's gone 32, 26, 32.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been as efficient.
True.
But he's been clutch.
Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
I don't.
Was
I
that
lost
it?
I lost it.
No, he, well, I mean, the second game was the, who would they play? I don't
crap.
You think I would have written that down. Yeah. I wrote down the point totals. Well, they played Philly last night.
Yeah, who did they play before that?
Give me 1 second. I will find that, and I'll just keep talking like this. Sacramento.
Yes.
That Sacramento game, he came out, like, incredibly cold, but then in that fourth quarter, if I'm recalling this correctly, he just got the shots when he needed to get those shots. So, and that's what
clutch.
You kind of expect
yeah.
from a guy like that. You don't want to get him. You don't want him to get gun shy.
Right.
And it could be very easy for a 21-year-old kid to get gun shy after missing 9 games. The second game back, first game was fine. Second game, he's ice cold. It could be very easy for him to get gun shy, and he certainly did not. And it paid off in the end with another win for them. But like you said, it hasn't been as efficient, but I don't think anybody's surprised by that because he's going to get his legs back underneath him. I mean, missing 9 games and coming back. And it's the holidays. You know, he's probably been eating a little extra, you know, that kind of thing. Who knows? So, you know, Booker's just, you know, rolling with it these days. And he'll come back around. And it's funny. It's funny having this conversation because I feel like a year ago, right about this time, was when Booker was starting to turn things around because he had that, you know, second half or last quarter of his rookie year, he'd kind of declined. Then the first part of his second year, he came out just not looking confident, taking shots, but looking like he's trying to guide the ball into the hoop.
Right.
And I feel like the Devin Booker we saw the first half of 2016, 2017, or maybe the first third, whatever it might be, is like 180 degrees, a completely different guy than what we're seeing right now, which I think is wonderful because he's truly coming into his own. He has that confidence.
Right. And he's keeping up with the complete gameness
right.
as well. I mean, he's still distributing. I mean, to the point that Triano's throwing him at point
mm-hmm.
in certain lineups, which have been really good lineups.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also still, you know, keeping up with the rebounds as well. I think the defense, his defensive numbers, I mean, not like they were have been great this season, but they've been better than they were, have fallen off a little bit in these last couple games. And that just might be just some focus issues that he just needs to kind of get back on, get his legs back under him a little bit more and whatnot. So we'll see how that goes, or if he's just, you know, focusing too much on the offensive end, just trying to keep the guys, keep the team in games, that he just doesn't have the energy for the other side.
Right. And, you know, I think when you have a player like Booker, there's always going to be that give and take. We've talked about this since we started doing this podcast. Yeah. We were never expecting Booker to become an elite defender. Nope. We want him to be what, Paul?
Average.
Serviceable. Take both of those. and the offensive game, if it continues to improve, then
don't want him being negative. It'll be fine.
Exactly. And, I mean, you look at his offensive game. I mean, you were just talking about how he's continuing to evolve his all-around game. You look at what he's done. I mean, he's shown a nice progression, you know, in per-game stats since his rookie year. Really, every year starting to, you know, continuing to improve his shooting percentages. Every year, obviously, improving his points per game. But more to your point of the all-around game, every year improving assists, improving rebounds. He's even averaging almost close to a steal a game this year. Now, that could be, you know, more of a happenstance, but hey, whatever.
Still, that's a lot. That's
stats
a lot of
stat, baby. Stats is stat. And, you know, again, coming into that role that we're all expecting him and hoping that he fills. But the Suns, you know, even without him, did started off a little rough. Yeah. They lost, what, the first four games, I think we were talking about?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But then they won three of the last five. So, you know, they even started maybe clicking a little bit, figuring things out without having Devin Booker in the lineup, which is a positive. And I think we talked about how it, you know, before he really started this time frame where he was out, talked about how it could be a positive to let the other players kind of figure things out without him on the floor, without having to rely on him so much. And, you know, it seems like they kind of started clicking, started figuring those types of things out, which I think is, you know, credit given to not only the coaching staff, but also the players for being able to do that. Because you look at teams like what, last year when Golden State lost Durant for a period of time, and they first were kind of like,
got to refigure this thing out.
Figuring out, and then Golden State was pretty much Golden State. Now, obviously, the Suns aren't Golden State.
Right.
But the same type of concept would apply, and it seemed like by winning 3 of 5 instead of losing 4 in a row, it's just a little bit different of levels. But
definitely players stepped up. Unfortunately, I think the players that we're all hoping to step up, those guys who we are talking about to be the core of the timeline, weren't really the ones who stepped up. You know, it wasn't like Josh Jackson really stepped into a role. I mean, Marquise Chris a little bit has started to become a little bit more consistent on the end near here. And I think Bender has kind of been what he's been for most of the season. But the guys who stepped up really were like the Troy Danielses, Isaiah Cannon, Len, I believe he stepped up. But guys who...
T.J. Warren did a good job filling Booker's, you know, primary role.
He did, but I mean, even still, his numbers were still relatively flat from the standpoint
of... So you're saying he didn't get a bump from having Booker out of the lineup.
Being the number one option.
I gotcha. That's fair.
So, I mean, we've got players there. They're figuring themselves out as a team. It's interesting to see how it's evolving. The addition of Cannon has been really interesting just because of it's really solidified that second unit and kind of given them a lot of direction, which is really what he provides, you know, as a point guard.
Right.
As a point guard who actually passes, unlike our former backup point guard who's now searching for a team.
I hear he might go to China. Do you read that?
Yeah, I saw that. But he wants to stick with the NBA, so hopefully he's...
I think he will.
I hope somebody picks him
stick
up.
Stick with the NBA, that is.
He did some good things for us, for the Suns, and in his short tenure with us. And I think he's a local guy, isn't he?
Mike James?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Certainly, I thought he was a local guy. Maybe
I could certainly look that up, but I don't think so. But he had the honor of being the first ever two-way contract player to have his two-way contract picked up. and then also quickly became the first to ever have him to follow by being released. So he's got that going for him, too.
That whole situation was a confluence of, wow, the Suns did not plan that one out well, having to release Derek Jones to make the room for Mike James to then proceed to then cut Mike James because apparently he's not good anymore.
Mike James from Portland.
Okay.
And who's that thinking? You know, I think if you polled like 100 Suns fans before Isaiah Cannon stepped onto a court for the Suns and said, do you think Isaiah Cannon's going to stick around and Mike James is going to, you know, be cut? Everyone would say no. I don't think anybody anticipated Isaiah Cannon having, you know, the impact that he did. And at that point, you know, kind of became the Suns didn't really have a choice. I mean, he outplayed him.
Well, but I mean, it was interesting just from the fact that they signed him to the 10-day and he was playing over James immediately. So that was very telling to me that James was definitely on the outs at that point. The fact that Cannon played as well as he has was a surprise, but it was definitely telling that James was benched like immediately to bring him on.
Right. And you know, it's one you always kind of wonder too what might be happening, you know, behind the scenes, and this is pure speculation obviously, but remember we talked, I want to say at the beginning of the year, about how James, you know, he's had a very successful run overseas. He was looking at having some pretty decent contracts overseas. And then he signed a two-way deal with the Suns, which is obviously going to be a considerably less financially than some of those big contracts overseas, even for guys that might be borderline NBA players.
Well,
let me finish. So I kind of wonder if there was anything in the works where there was the anticipation, you know, they're almost like a wink-wink kind of promise that they would at some point convert that to a normal deal throughout the year. And maybe at that point they said, we told them we were going to convert this to normal. Suns don't exactly have a whole lot of you know, goodwill with players out there, so we don't exactly want to burn a bridge here. But we like this guy better. Bring him in. We're going to have to sign James, and then we'll release him shortly thereafter and go make money somewhere else too. I don't even know if it makes sense. I'm just throwing that out there. It literally just came up with that off the top of my head. So probably nonsensical, possibly even impossible.
I doubt that strictly just because they signed him to that deal before Booker got hurt. The only reason they brought in Cannon was because Booker got hurt. And granted, it was kind of a weird – not really. I guess not, just because they didn't have another backup point guard. And I think James was really struggling at that point. Mm-hmm. And because he's a score-first point guard, which is really not what that second unit needed.
Sure.
You know, they've got Troy Daniels to score, and they've got guys like Bender, who I think maybe didn't get along that well with James.
Talk about speculation.
I don't know, didn't James yell at him one game?
I don't know.
Yeah, he yelled at him one game because Bender didn't take a shot at like the very end of the clock.
It seems like something he should yell at him for, though.
But they were like losing by a ton.
So? Losing by a ton, you just stopped not playing? Come on.
I don't know what
he's
it was.
He's trying to be a big brother right there, man. I didn't see it. Again, I'm just speculating.
I don't know. I just remember seeing something about that.
Okay, well, you want to delve into that more next week about the relationship between Mike James and
Dragan Bender? No, I think we can move on from Mike James.
Suddenly, I'm interested. I'm very interested in Mike
James. Move on to Mike James, unless he joins the Wizards to hang out with Marcin Gortat and Markieff Morris.
Start being like the West Suns, the Suns rejects at any rate. Can I just say one thing, too? I get it. Just lest anybody think that I still don't absolutely love Josh Jackson, let's all just calm down. Is he having an underwhelming rookie year? Yes, he is. But you know what? He's going to be fine. I stand by that, and I will, you know, y'all can yell at me if this doesn't work out, but I think he's going to be just fine. I've said this before, he needs to learn how to play within himself. Love the aggressiveness, but it needs to be a little more controlled. And I think he'll get there at some point.
I'm just hoping for that Jaylen Brown year two leap.
There you go. I would love any sort of leap into year two so I could, you know, stop eating some crow. I really don't like doing that. but remember, I did save Devin Booker back in the day. So it's because, you know, I lit that fire under him. So, all right, Paul, anything else, buddy?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, Until next time, then, as always, you can find me on Twitter at So Says Jay, and Paul
at Dervish of Whirl.
At Dervish of Whirl. We'll record before Brightside Night, but yeah. I'll say it again. Come say hi. If any of y'all want to say hi, you might not want to meet us. I don't know. That's fine. We're not that exciting. But come say hi at Brightside Night. It should be fun. It was fun last year. And it's always a good time. Good cause. So
yes, really good time.
On that note, until the next time we join you, like I always say, thank you for listening. And depending on when you're listening, have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
I've got a fever for more cowbell.